It is Wednesday, February 15th, 2017, the day after Valentine's Day. Hope everybody did something nice and romantic. Did you guys do something romantic yesterday? I hope you did. I don't know who got the opportunity to do so, but I know that I did. We had a nice little Valentine's Day at my house. We had a piece of prime rib for dinner, which was very good. My wife made this. She made this low carb chocolate mousse that was delicious. I had a little bit of that. I really enjoyed that. So it was a pretty nice night. We spent some alone time together in the boudoir, which was very nice. And it was a pretty decent Valentine's Day, I think. I hope that you guys also had that. All of you. I know that Valentine's Day is rough for people who don't have anyone, or who have recently lost someone, or who, you know, or people who take it too serious. There's so many people that think Valentine's Day is like the end all. You know, you think Valentine's Day is the end all of religion, and if you don't get somebody on Valentine's Day, and blah blah. And by the way, you're always going to end up disappointed if that's the case. You know what I mean? Valentine's Day is for either young people recently in love or fat old people like me looking to get laid in the week, you know, on a weeknight. That's what Valentine's Day is for. Anybody else who worries about it, you're worrying about nothingness. You really are. It's just a day. Doesn't matter. My daughter was telling me they had this. They had these love grams at her school, like where the show choir would go up and sing to someone. And that was, you know, for Valentine's Day. And I thought, I go, oh. So someone would order a love gram and send it over to someone. And I thought, oh my God, what a horrible idea that is. I mean, that just sounds horrible. I said, so what does the person who is receiving the love gram, do they get to say anything about it? She goes, no. I said, so you could basically order a love gram for anybody and just have these show choir buffoons come over and sing to you. And that's it. She goes, yeah. I said, well, what if it's somebody that's like stalking somebody? Wouldn't that be uncomfortable? What if you're dating somebody else and they do? Wouldn't that be uncomfortable? What if you do it because you're somebody's enemy and you think it'd be funny if they got this love gram? But what you're really trying to do is make them hurt. So it seemed pretty dangerous to me, you know, but that's what they do. They send them out and everybody, so I thought it was ridiculous. So anyway, they did these love grams at her school, and boy, they really were making too much out of it. I'm like, good Lord, what a ridiculous thing to worry about. But you know, these kids that worry about anything. I feel bad, you know. I felt bad for the kids. The love grams. Oh, my God. That's way too much pressure. That is way too much pressure. Oh. I asked my daughter, I go, what do you think? She goes, oh, I worry that somebody that somebody would send one as a joke, or I'd get this, or I'd get that. I'm like, yeah, it just seems cruel. But they do it. They allow them to do it at the school, I guess. I know that kids can be cruel, so you got to watch that. But the school doesn't seem to care. You know, they're fine with it. I wish there was going to be a love gram. There's going to be a love gram at my house. It was going to be delivered to me, and it was going to be from a piece of prime rib steak. Love gram. Because that is my true love. Piece of steak. We got, so today, listen, I want to tell you guys, speaking of love, I love someone who is supposed to be our guest today. Sarah Jane. That's right. The one and only Sarah Jane is supposed to be calling in today to update us on her life. Of which, if you follow Sarah Jane's life, well, you know just how special this segment will be. All right? If you follow Sarah Jane, you'll be updated today. And who knows? I mean, who knows what's going on in her life? So we're hoping we get the update today. And she'll let us know what's going on. Of course, Sarah Jane is, for those that don't know Sarah Jane, she's most known for... You know, she's probably most known for the BJ with Rage back in the, I think that was Breaking Curfew. Back in the Breaking Curfew days when she hooked up with Rage and, you know, there's a whole thing. Rage went over there. They hooked up. Rage somehow got her to give him $50, which we had to pry that information out of her. And then he said he'd pay her back, and he never did. So that's been a story for, oh my God, I don't even know how long it's been. It's got to be 7-8 years since that thing has happened. And is it seven? Yeah, probably seven. Yeah, it's probably 7 or 8 years since that went down. And I know that TJ still gives Rage a hard time about that on Mayhem Unleashed. That's the podcast that they do. MayhemUnleashed.com is the webpage. They do that now. By the way, that show is it's a great show, but they're trying to find time to do it because TJ is now driving over the road, which means he's, he's always moving around. I don't know when they sleep in those trucks. I guess they sleep in the truck or something. Al is saying, oh my God, what blowing Rage? What a horrible thing to be known for. Yeah, I know. I feel bad for Sarah Jane. It's a horrible thing to be connected to Rage's penis in any way whatsoever. I mean, of all the things you could do, being connected to his penis is a horrible, horrible fate for anyone. I mean, ugh. Could you imagine? Oh, my God. Ugh. I could not imagine. And that's what she's connected to. So, I mean, right now, that should put her as a sympathetic being in your world right now. Just knowing that. That poor Sarah Jane has gone through that. Because that is a terrible existence for anyone. Terrible existence. But that's what she's going. I mean, that's what she's gone through. And being connected to Rage's penis, that's that's how Sarah Jane has existed in this show. So, and then of course she also was. I don't know. Just to remind you. She was a sex addict. She she got super religious. Then she started sleeping with a married preacher or something. And then she was some kind of preacher, and then she wasn't. And I don't know what's up with her. But we'll get an update. We'll get an update now because I hear Sarah Jane. Hi, Sarah Jane.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing pretty good.
So you're going to give us an update on your life today?
Yeah, I guess so.
I'm very excited about whatever's going on with you because I don't know because you've been – I was thinking about that. You've been calling the show since 2007. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Since the days of IP radio.
Yep.
And when we were working on in Chatham, when we had our studio there.
Mm-hmm.
You were calling the show then.
Yeah, and come in.
Yeah, and you would come in and you'd hang out with me and Jimmy.
Yeah.
And I think you also did stuff with Jimmy.
Of course.
If I'm not mistaken. She would come in, by the way, she would call the show. All right. This is how it would go down. She'd call the show in 07. And then while she'd be talking, and I'd be getting an update from her. And Jimmy'd go, "Hey, Sarah Jane, why don't you stop by? Come by and see us." And so she'd stop by the studio, and it was just and she was always funny when she came in, and then Jimmy after the show Jimmy'd be like, "Hey, you want to go do something?" And I mean Jimmy wanted to get a BJ. I mean that let's face it, he would try to hook up with you all the time.
Well, we did date for a while there.
That's what I mean, but secretly.
Kind of, not really secretly.
No, but I'm saying we never talked about it.
Yeah, because he treated me different than other guys did at that time.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying Jimmy was bad. I'm not he's dead. I'm not going to speak ill, but he wasn't, you know. He was he would hook up with you. You dated and you know, he didn't share it with. I'm not saying he's embarrassed or anything. I'm saying he didn't share it because.
Well, he never
told me things like that, you know.
Well, him and I never had sex.
Yeah.
But you know.
Well, you blew him.
Yeah.
So you're saying that's not sex?
Well, I mean, we didn't have like intercourse, like. I'd stay the night with him all the time and stuff like that.
Yeah.
He met my mom.
Right. But you blew him. You blew him all the time. And you're saying that's not sex?
Well, it is considered like sex, not like intercourse.
Yeah.
He's one of the guys that wanted to show me that he cared about me. And
well, yeah.
He didn't have to. That.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
But he also liked getting blown. I mean, that was, you know.
Yeah.
And that was his thing.
So did his friend.
And what?
Nothing.
But did you say so did his friends? What?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Okay, now we're getting to something. Wait a minute. I said, well, he liked getting blown. And you go, yeah, so did his friends. Can you please explain that comment?
It was just one particular guy friend.
Okay, so he had a friend of his that was a guy.
Mm-hmm.
And you would come over to see Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
And his guy friend would be there with him.
Sometimes.
So, and he would say, hey, why don't you blow so-and-so? Is that how that'd go down?
No, we'd all get like high and...
Right. Well, that doesn't mean you start blowing people. I don't know, plenty of people that get high. I don't think they blow each other or start blowing people. And Jim have to talk you into taking care of this guy or...
No.
He was there when it happened. Or when it first happened.
Yeah, we were all like friends.
Okay. And
I mean, I don't remember too much because I was always like high at that time, usually. Right.
So he gets you high. So hold on, I gotta figure this out. So
When I used to get high,
right?
I used to get super turned on.
You get super horny when you get high.
Yeah.
And so Jimmy would say, hey, why don't you, and I don't know his friend's name. Let me come up with a name first. His friend's name is Jeff or whatever, you know. So he'd be like, hey, why don't you blow Jeff? And he'd watch?
I don't remember.
What do you mean you don't remember?
I really don't.
Now you're getting shy. Are you afraid of speaking ill of the dead?
No, I love Jimmy.
Yeah. So I'm wondering, would he watch when you... he'd invite you to his house. You'd come by. He'd get you really high. You'd get really horny.
And yeah, I would feel like I was on a roller coaster, like when I got high, and like I'd start moaning and stuff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so you would get super horny, and then you would blow Jim and his friends. But I just want to know who went first.
Oh, Jimmy always got first dibs.
Oh, so he went first, and then after he was done, he watched you blow his buddy.
I don't know. I can't really remember.
Oh my god. This is so seamy, so you know.
That's so in the past.
Yeah, but I mean these are still interesting stories. Just because they're in the past doesn't mean they're not interesting.
True.
Oh my god, your life is such a freaking every time I talk to you, I get something new that I didn't know. Every time. This never fails.
Yep, I'm fine like that.
Yeah, it is. It really is bizarre. Your life is very, very strange.
I'm starting to become normal again, though.
Oh, boy. Good. Well, we'll get to that in a second, but let me get back to this you blowing Jim's friend story. Okay.
Well, I used to
what? Go ahead.
Well, his friend I would connect with, and like I'd go meet him and stuff at different places when he was working.
You'd what?
And I'd go meet his friend while he was working.
While Jim was working?
No, when Jim wasn't working, when his friend was working.
Where did his friend work?
His friend worked for an electric company.
So you would go meet his friend.
Yeah, he drove a truck and basically had to take calls sometimes when he worked overnight.
Right.
So we would just go meet in places and get in the car and meet him and
So he would be working. Was he married or anything? Or I mean, he wasn't with another woman. What was his deal? I mean, I don't.
He was married.
He was married. Okay. And so he was working overnight, and he would just call you up?
No. I don't remember.
Oh, my God. Every time. You always shock me with a new story every time.
Yeah, back then, fool around with married people.
Okay, so this guy would get hold of you and tell you where he was. And in the middle of the night, you would leave your house. And I don't know what your what was your living situation? You were living with your mom or something, weren't you, back then?
Yeah.
So you would leave your house, and you'd go to where the married guy, or where the Jimmy's friend was, and you'd show up, get in the truck with him, and start blowing him.
Well, usually got in the car with me.
Oh, so he got out of his truck, and he went and sat in your car.
Mm-hmm.
And then you'd take care of him.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd leave?
No, we'd sit and we'd talk for a while, and then we'd leave.
And then he'd leave. This is so bizarre. So did Jimmy know you were doing that?
Yeah. Jimmy knew a lot more than anybody else.
Was Jim on the phone directing these activities? I'm just wondering, did he?
No, okay. No.
So because I'm wondering now if he knew or if he didn't know or if you and his friend were cheating on him. I don't know what was going on there.
I did cheat on Jimmy 3 times with one of his best guy friends.
And how did you hook up? Did Jim know?
Well, the first time I told him.
The first time what? Wait a second. Go back. I couldn't hear that. What was that?
The first time I felt bad and I told him. The second time I told him. The third time I tried to hide it, but I had to go to a prompt care because I had a problem.
Oh, my God. Wait a minute. Okay. So when you were dating Jimmy, you'd swing by his place, you'd get high, and you'd blow him and his whatever friend he had over.
Sometimes.
But Jimmy seemed to like that.
Yeah, he didn't mind.
Well, he must have got off. He must have got off on it. I've never had a friend over at my house and then had my wife take care of me and then say, "Oh, go take care of my friend." That's not something that I do. Jimmy obviously was into that.
Well, I was into it too because at the time I was being trafficked.
Well, yeah.
So it used to be directed what to do.
Oh, my God. Okay, so I'm just talking about. So, but Jimmy didn't mind that you blew his friends. He was cool with it when he was part of it.
Right.
Okay. So then, if that wasn't enough, you started going out and seeing the friends behind Jim's back.
There was one friend that I did. I slept with him 3 times.
And Jimmy didn't know.
I heard him a lot the third time. He was just like, "Wow."
So but he was Jimmy's friend?
It was Jimmy's friend. It was Jimmy considered him like a best friend.
So you could blow this guy in front of Jimmy?
No, this is 2 different guys.
I know, but I'm saying this friend that you were cheating with, could you do him in front of Jim?
No, I went to his house secretly.
Oh, so Jim didn't want you blowing this guy in front of him.
Okay, there's 2 guys here.
I got that, yeah. But I'm saying the second guy, the guy that you're cheated with, could you blow him in front of Jimmy?
No.
Okay, so Jimmy, he didn't know you were having any connection with this guy.
He did not know.
Okay.
It just happened.
So what happened when he found out?
He was really hurt.
Yeah.
It was hard.
Oh, my God.
He forgave me.
Yeah.
Like, the first time and the second time. And then, like, the third time I was trying to hide it. And it was really hard to hide it because something really bad happened.
Okay, why would you, why would you? If you knew it was wrong, why did you do it?
Because I couldn't tell a guy no.
Oh, my God. So the third time you hooked up with the guy, what you said you had to go to prom care. What happened?
Oh, it was so embarrassing.
Ugh. God, your life is such a mess.
I had to go. The hardest part was breast care. And they're like, what are you being seen for? And I'm like,
well, you got to slow down. I didn't catch that. What was that?
The hardest part was going to the prompt care at the time.
So you hooked up with this guy as a friend of Jimmy's.
Yeah.
Jimmy didn't know.
No.
And you had slept with him a couple times. And when Jim found out, he was really upset. But then you still did it a third time, knowing it would upset Jimmy, and you said, I'm not going to tell him this time. Well, that to me, you knew it was wrong. Okay. But then you had to go to prom care. Did you have to go to prom care while you were in the midst of sleeping with the guy? Or why did you have to go to prom care?
The
what?
Condom got stuck.
The condom got stuck. In you mean in your vagina?
Yes.
Oh my God. Okay, so the guy was using a condom.
Yeah.
And the condom came off inside you.
Yes.
And so you went to prom care. And prom care had to dig it out, or what was?
Oh. Yes.
How did Jim find out?
I told him because I was really upset, and my mom was really upset with me because I had to tell her.
Oh, my God. Why did you tell your mom? How old were you when this was happening?
I was like...
You were over 18, right?
Yeah, I was 19, but, I mean, I didn't have much money.
Oh,
and so my health insurance at the time, they didn't have express care. So prompt care was full-blown, had to pay the full amount.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't like a copay or something like that.
Well, you couldn't make payments?
So I had to tell my mom.
Oh,
and my mom...
God.
Remember, we were shopping at Myers, and she yelled at me in the middle of Myers, and she's just like, just go buy yourself a freaking dildo.
But I mean, I don't even know how. Why did you have to say what happened? Couldn't you just say, I was really sick? I was very, very sick, and I had no choice. I had to go to prom care.
No, because my mom would have wanted me to go to
prom. Would have wanted you to what?
Go to the ER. That would have been covered.
Oh. Okay, so.
And I'm not going to go to the ER for that.
Why wouldn't you go to the ER? That would seem to make sense for them to dig a condom out.
Oh.
By the way, how long did it take prom care? About 2 minutes? To dig. They probably are. An emergency room, by the way, would have gotten it out in like 10 seconds, just to let you know.
Yeah.
That's something that emergency room deals with all the time. I mean, just so you know.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of a prompt care in the middle of the night or whenever the hell it was.
It was during the day.
So you were having sex during the day?
Yeah. I took the whole time.
When the condom broke. Oh, my God. Instead of going to the emergency room, you went to prompt care, and that's how you got caught.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. And that one hurt Jimmy a lot, and then he never. That's what he probably broke it off with you. But did he remain friends with the friend?
I did, but I caused some drama.
No, did Jimmy remain? Did Jimmy remain friends with his friend?
No.
So he was so angry he even stopped talking to his friend.
Yes.
Oh boy!
He kept coming on to me.
His friend kept coming on to you.
Mm-hmm.
Now this friend wasn't married or anything, was he? Or
no, he was about around my age.
So he was a young guy.
Yeah.
All right. So this is such a it's such a bizarre story.
You know, I used to be so embarrassed by that story, but after working in a hospital setting,
well, yeah, you see that, you know,
stuff that comes in,
you start to realize how normal that stuff is, right?
Yeah.
You know,
and this is my. The last time that that's happened.
And these young people who do that, it's usually young people that have that happen. I'm telling you, when I was a kid, I would use condoms, okay? But when I finished, I didn't finish inside with the condom on. You know what I mean? I would either pull out and take the condom off and make a display, or just, you know, pull out and finish in the condom.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how paranoid I was as a youth. You know what I mean? You get, when you're a kid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Because a pregnancy it wasn't anything bad, but a pregnancy was an issue that you worried about, you know, when I was growing up. Because
yeah.
I was convinced, I mean, I was growing up, I was like, I'm going to get into radio and I'm going to get out of Gillespie and I'm going to move and I'm going to blah, 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 and be a big, you know. And so the one thing I didn't need was a child. So I was always, I was very careful.
Mm-hmm.
When doing things. But obviously you and Jim's friend were not the same, you know, level of careful.
No.
When you would go at it. All right, so after that, Jimmy broke it off? Because I didn't know any of this. And Jimmy and I worked together. And
Jimmy tried to keep his and I, like, relationship and stuff pretty private.
Yeah.
Because he knew how bad things were for me at that time.
Well,
with every.
Listen, I probably would have, I mean, I definitely would have gotten him to tell the story. So I don't blame him for not telling me, you know. I
asked him to promise not to tell you because I was so humiliated by it.
You were humiliated by what?
Just like, I didn't want to be humiliated. I was just
because Jimmy had you blow his friends. Was that humiliating, or were you into it?
I saw Jimmy as a different person. Like, he treated me like a lot better than any guy ever had.
This is the most bizarre story.
At the time, like, I remember specifically, like, with the guy who trafficked me, he was a photographer. I made special, like, photos and stuff like that to give to Jimmy and, like, for, like, a present and on a disc. And, like, Jimmy, like, told me he never looked at the disc. I'm like, Jimmy, why aren't you?
Wait a minute. What did you do?
I had a special photography shoot where I did really naughty different types of pictures and stuff for him specifically.
Well, who took the pictures?
The guy who trafficked me. The guy that was my pimp, basically.
All right. So when you were sex trafficking. Good Lord.
He was a photographer.
All right. And then you had him take pictures of you that were dirty pictures, and you gave them to Jim as a gift.
Yeah.
And he said what?
Jimmy said he wanted to show me that, you know, I could be loved without, you know,
right,
being disrespected and stuff. Like, he's like, you don't have to be like that with me.
I have some questions for you from listeners, because they're coming in. Listeners are sending in questions. Here's one. Ray and Sarah Jane, I've smoked a lot of weed in my life. And never did it end up with me blowing two guys, or even one guy for that matter. All right? So,
yeah.
So they're saying it's not the weed that caused this, I think. There's another one. What kind of people are you hanging out with? I just puked thinking about a condom being stuck in that vagina, and I'm a goddamn garbage man. And that is Al, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Oh, jeez. Oh, Sarah Jane, Sarah Jane, Sarah Jane. You always, and this is from 10 years ago. We haven't even gotten to your current. You always shock me. So wait a minute. When you were at Jimmy's funeral,
mm-hmm.
were the guys there that you would, you know, were those guys there?
I don't remember, honestly.
The ones you blew?
I was upset. Right.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. How uncomfortable it's just how uncomfortable would it be? Oh my.
Well, it wasn't that. I didn't care about that at that time, because what happened is, like, 2 weeks before Jimmy died, him and I got in a fight because me and you were having issues, like, with the radio stuff.
What was happening? You and Jimmy got in a fight because what?
Over you.
Over me? Oh, because I was angry at you?
No, because you were like, I don't know, you, something was going on, and it was making me feel like crap.
Oh, because and, I was talking about you.
Yeah, and so I was like, I'm done with the show. I've done that a few times, you know?
Right, yeah, you get fed up with the stuff I say, and you're not going to call it again.
He gave you my phone number, and you called me on air to call me out on something.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, I'm remembering this. So, yeah.
I was so mad at him, and I was just like, Jimmy, I'm done. And yeah. I was just so hurt. And then he...
So I remember this call. This is... All right. And...
I don't remember what it was about, but I
think I do. I think I do. And I'm going to remind you. And then you can. All right. So we did some on the show, and you revealed something. All right. And you got really angry that you revealed it. Okay.
Yeah.
And then Jimmy gave me a number. Excuse me. Jimmy gave me your number, and I called you, and I said, "Hey," I said, "you called in." And you chose to answer the questions. And so why are you mad at me? Why are you mad at the show? And you were, and then you accused, you're like, well, you tricked me into saying, but, and I said, I didn't trick you into, are you remembering now?
Yeah, I remember.
And I was saying, I didn't trick you into anything. And now that you're more mature, I'm sure that you see it, but it's like, it'd be like you getting, it's like you getting upset over this phone call. You know what I mean? You're the one, you chose to reveal this stuff. I didn't, you know. I mean, yes, I can bring it up. I could bring it out of you, but you still chose to reveal it. And that's what the call was like. It was like, it was me saying, you know, don't be angry. You're the one that chose to reveal it. If you know, and that's what that call. And I do this. This is like a, this is like what, a month before he died, maybe a couple weeks. Yeah, right?
It was like a couple weeks before he died.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about Jimmy was, I don't know what it is. Like, I haven't talked to too many people about this. But, I mean, Jimmy was really in love with me. I really think so. And I'm not saying that because he's, like, gone or anything.
He was, I'll tell you what, Jim was one of the most pure and kindest people that I've ever known. He was Jim the photographer, and I honestly mean this. Jim the photographer was so authentic that he almost always told the truth. Let me put it this way. A lot of human beings go through life living under a masquerade or living in some masquerade. They're pretending someone they're not. And that's how they go through life. They go through life being scared to death that they're going to be revealed as to who they are. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's how people go through life. And including at the time, I think that I would even do some of that. You know, I'm like, listen, obviously, there's a masquerade in how I act on the air and off, okay? And that has actually gotten a lot less since I got into talk radio. I do seem to be a little more authentic, you know. But especially back in the days of, you know, the hardcore disaster, you know. It's just because I had to act like somebody else. Now, Jimmy, on the other hand, is fully authentic. He truly is or was just an authentic person. There was no act in Jim. There was no facade that he was acting out. He was 100% who he was on the air, off the air. He was a kind and gentle soul who, when he got angry, there was usually reason for him to be angry. You know, there was occasionally there would be no reason. But for the most part, when he got angry, it was very much deserved.
Yeah.
So that's how Jimmy was. He's very authentic. And the character that he portrayed on the air, I mean, it was him.
Mm-hmm.
He was an amazing person.
Yeah. The thing about what I thought was weird, like before he passed, like we were hanging out one night, and like, it's almost like Jimmy knew something was wrong, or his time was short, because it was the weirdest thing that he had said to me. This was when we were dating or not. And he was like, you know, whoever I marry gets a pension when I die.
Yeah, he did know that. That's also the reason he didn't.
That, and I'm
but
like,
that's also the reason he didn't get married. Because he did feel that people only wanted him for his pension.
I didn't even know what that was.
Yeah, and that wasn't, by the way, it wasn't the case. There was no woman wanting his pension. They weren't. But he was scared of that. And I remember telling him, I go, I don't know. There's nobody's trying to steal your pension. But he was concerned about it. And it was, I mean, it's kind of sad because he didn't end up remarrying, you know. He never married outside of his, you know, first marriage that went to hell. But
Well, the thing I thought was weird was I was like, he was talking, he just randomly started talking about it.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, okay, like, why are you telling me the person you married, we were dating? And I'm just like, are you saying you want to be more?
And you were 19 years old and he was 54. I mean,
53.
No, he was 54. He died at 54.
Oh, well, I mean.
Yeah, it would have been 54.
Okay.
So, I'm just, you know.
Yeah.
It was very, you know, very bizarre.
I know. So, I was a completely different person back then.
So then.
I was a lost girl.
Let's bring you to more current.
Mm-hmm.
Let's bring you up to current, to what you're up to now. Because what you know, your talk in the past has blown my mind. Oh yeah, well, let me get back to the phone call that I had with you. So even though I explained to you what happened, all right, you still weren't satisfied, and you were claiming you weren't going to call the show again. This is back in 2007.
Yeah.
And then my attitude was like, and I apologize, I had this attitude, but after I explained to you what was going on, and you were dating Jim, which is very uncomfortable because I didn't know you guys were dating.
Mm-hmm.
And so my attitude was, listen, you're the one that chose to share. I didn't tell you to share anything. And you chose to share it. And we had the conversation. I told you, and you said you understood. But you were still mad and blah, blah. And then my attitude was like, well, fuck her then, to Jimmy. You know what I mean? I'm like, well, nobody forced her to blow. I said, it'd be one thing if I found out in secrecy and then brought it up. You know, so I do remember that time. And I, you know, and I feel bad about it because, you know, Jimmy was dating you and I, you know, he was sort of put in the middle, you know, which sucks. By the way, our guest is Sarah Jane, who is revealing all kinds of stuff today. All right, so let's move forward. So after that, I just want to bring everybody up to speed. Let's see, you hooked up with Rage in like 2009. We know that story. Yeah. That horrible smear on your life. Where you loaned Rage to $50 and blew him and
let's not go there.
He never paid you back, which was horrible. We understand that.
Yeah.
Then at some point between after that, you got religious, right? You got really religious.
Yeah.
And I'm talking about religion. Why are you going, yeah. You got really religious. They even did a write-up on you in some religious magazine.
Yeah, that was last year.
Yeah. So you had found God. But even though you found God, you were like sleeping with a preacher or something, right? I mean, you were still up to no good.
I wasn't sleeping with a preacher.
Isn't that what you did? What did you... You were hooking up with somebody you weren't supposed to. It wasn't a preacher?
No.
Who were you hooking up with?
I don't know. I've hooked up with a lot of people.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, when you were religion, weren't you sleeping with one of the religious guys or something?
Mm. Oh, my ex-boyfriend.
Yeah, who was super religious and...
He was, I don't know.
But he was also wanting it to be quiet, right?
No, that's different.
Okay.
So I was like in high school when like the pastor's son did stuff to me.
Oh, so I guess I forgot. The pastor's son did things to you. All right.
Yeah.
Long story. All right, so let me just fast forward. So you learned to trade at some point over the last few years. All right. And then you, you got a job.
Mm-hmm.
And when we last talked, you were trying to find your religion that you, by the way, never really, I mean, you found religion, but you never really, the sex was never far behind Sarah Jane. You know what I mean? You can be religious and sexual at the same, and a sexual being at the same time. I just want to point that out. So then, recently when you called the show, you were seeing somebody, but were they married or were they? You were seeing somebody, but there was a situation that you know, and I can't remember what it was. And then, you were thinking of dating someone who was in prison. Or just released from prison, right? I mean, wasn't that?
Yeah. Oh, God.
And by the way, weren't they in prison for something really bad?
No, they were in prison for, like, DUIs.
And, oh, okay.
Attempted burglary. Yeah, that felt really bad because, like, on Christmas, you know, I was out of work for like a month and a half because I had a huge breakdown.
You had a breakdown at Christmas? Yeah, well, I don't think we've talked to you since before then.
Yeah, no, I had a breakdown because of everything going on. And
well, what was going on that gave you a breakdown?
Well, I was going through medicine changes. I was sleeping around a lot again.
So you started sleeping around with a bunch of people again.
Sort of. Well, I had a weekday guy and I had a weekend guy.
Now, don't you think that's abnormal?
Did
the weekend guy know about the weekday guy? And did the weekday guy know about the weekend guy?
Yeah, I told all my partners about other people.
Have you ever had a partner that said, you know what, I don't want you sleeping with anybody else?
I've had a few.
Well, so did you stick with that or what?
No.
Yeah, so say hypothetically, and this would never happen because the age difference is much too great. Say you and I were dating, all right? And I say, Sarah Jane, I don't want you to sleep with anybody else but me. Nothing. I don't want you doing anything sexual with anybody else except teasing them. You can tease them all you want. And you can hang around, but I don't want you having any sexual contact with other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And could you contain yourself? Oh, and then I said, but you and I, we're only going to hook up like a couple times a week. Because I'm too busy to, you know. Could you do that?
Yeah.
You're saying that, yeah, if a guy actually said that to you, that you could be faithful of it.
No, yeah.
So then why aren't you? Because I haven't seen you do it yet.
I'm not,
you're breaking up again. What was that?
I'm not in a relationship, and like currently I haven't been seeing any guys. I got rid of all my buddies.
Hey, let me ask you something. There's millions of girls out there, all right? Millions of girls living in this world that can't get a man. And I mean, attractive, young, beautiful girls who say it's impossible to find a man, okay? So how in the hell are you getting five and six of them at a time? You know what I mean? How do you find these men?
Right.
You what?
Dude, all you have to do is get online and go to, like, chat
sites. You go to where?
I get online and I get on chat apps.
Chat apps. Oh, okay.
And that's where I'm like, come to me.
It seems like you're going to get the worst of the worst if you're getting people from those locations, right?
And,
oh, good Lord, what was that? Oh, my God.
The dog.
Oh.
The dog and the bird.
Oh, my God.
Hang on.
This is disturbing. Let's get out.
Sorry. I'm helping.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. Look at this zoo in the back. What is going on? Do you have neighbors? Oh,
hold on, I gotta.
Good Lord. Oh,
it's
Jesus.
A bird and a dog.
Oh, my God. That bird sounds like it's in pain.
Hold on.
Oh, my God. This is crazy. Corey wants to know if I could end the show with the herpopotamus song. I want a herpopotamus for Christmas. Oh, my God.
Okay.
Okay, did you get your... Who is your neighbors, by the way?
What do you mean, my neighbors?
Do your neighbors not complain? Do you live in an apartment complex or something?
No, this isn't my place. I'm house-sitting.
Oh, okay. All right. I thought that was your apartment. I'm like, do you live in an apartment?
I do live in an apartment. Oh, okay.
I was going to say, how do your neighbors not complain?
I don't live here.
But you're
so
saying that you're house sitting for someone.
Yeah.
Good Lord, how could anyone live in that?
The dog and the bird fight sometimes.
Oh my.
The bird likes to talk.
That is insane what's going on there.
I'm sorry. The dog heard somebody like go through the building. And so he goes bark. The bird tells him to be quiet and stuff like that.
Oh, my God. Okay, so.
Okay, I think it's calm now.
I might have to end this. We might have to continue this tomorrow.
What?
I said we might have to continue this tomorrow because this is.
I'll be at work tomorrow, so I won't.
Oh my God. I'm telling you, this is so okay. So I'm saying that millions of women in this world can't get anybody, but you seem to have
girls that want me.
You what?
I even have girls that want me.
Yeah, do you ever hook up with a girl sometimes or what? Hey, do you ever hook up with a girl? Do you ever hook up with a girl, just you and the girl, or is there always another guy involved?
I've just hooked up with me and a girl and sometimes with me and a guy.
You've just hooked up with a girl? Where it's just...
I have a girl that's constantly hounding me. She wants to hook up with me and stuff.
Yeah, but do you ever hook up with her, just you and her? Or is there always a guy in the middle?
I haven't hooked up with her yet.
So you haven't. So there's always a guy involved when you hook up with women.
Sometimes.
What does sometimes mean?
It means I've had girlfriends and stuff
you have hooked up with a woman and there's no guy there.
Oh yeah.
Oh, that's what I'm asking.
You like lesbian.
Well, that's what I was asking.
Yeah.
I don't think you're anything, by the way. I think you just, you know. I think you're just I think you're just a sex addict, but I mean, I don't need lesbian straight. I don't think any of that matters.
But that's why I go to meetings.
I just think you like having sex. Hey,
but I haven't had any in a while.
Have you ever, and good for you, by the way, congratulations. Have you ever given a count to a number, you know? You know how people have numbers of how many people they've had sex with? And
mm-hmm.
Have you ever come up with yours and tried to figure out your number?
Yeah.
And is it over or under 300?
Under.
It's under 300. Oh, that's good. Okay. Well, good. How much is it? A lot under, or just a little under? Because I got to be honest. To me, like 20 seems like an excessive amount. You know,
I've heard that from normal people, but I'm not a normal person.
I think that sounds excessive. I think, to be honest, I'd like under 10, you know. And my wife and I, we met when we were young, so, you know, the number was a lot smaller than 10 even, thank God. You know, I don't think I could handle knowing if my wife was with all these people, Thank God. Now I was a little bit older, so my number was up quite a bit. But I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied with where my number is right now. Because you know, when you get married for a long time, Sarah Jane, your number never increases, you know.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Like you keep the same number. Like I've had the same number of sexual partners that I had when I was, you know, when I met my wife.
Well, that's good.
When I met my wife and I slept with her, that number has never moved. Yeah, but that's also kind of sad, isn't it? You know?
No, not really.
Well, I'm saying that to some people, they'd go, oh, that's sad. I guess I never thought of that. There's a permanence to marriage. It doesn't bother me, but I'm saying that that is a fact of life. So, all right. So the latest is that you have taken to your sex addiction, and you are trying your best to not have any sex lately.
Yeah.
And you've gone how long without?
I'm trying to think.
What time is it?
No, I'm trying to think.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you said what time is it. I'm like, what?
Probably about like 2 weeks.
So it's been 14 days since you've last had sex?
Yeah, but this one's different than like the other one, so.
Okay, why is this one different?
Because this one is like, it's kind of like my best friend, sort of, like best guy friend.
Wait a minute, so you're dating someone?
Well, it's kind of like we're dating. He's in love with me. He wants to be with me. But I'm scared of relationships and stuff. And I don't know. But we spend, like, a lot of time together. Like, we see each other, like, every other day. We talk every day.
And do you work with this guy?
No, I don't work with him.
Oh, okay.
But I know where he works.
So are you seeing him?
I guess you could say that, yeah.
And you haven't had sex with him yet?
No, we did. We waited 6 months almost.
And then now you've gone 2 weeks without doing it again?
Yeah.
Why the hell would you wait? I mean, once you break the seal, isn't it usually, you know, full speed ahead from there?
We're not all about that.
You're not all about what?
About just having sex. Like, I mean,
it's not all about sex. I mean, that's just part of a relationship.
But I'm telling you, I've been in a relationship for a long time, and it's a pretty good part of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
it's
but
not
we're
the
not
most.
Like,
it's not the regular. Most important thing, but it is definitely important.
But we're not in a committed relationship. I'm kind of afraid of commitment.
This is very bizarre.
And he's older than me.
They're what?
He's much older than me.
Oh, boy. How old is this guy?
He is 48.
He's what?
48.
He's 48?
Mm-hmm.
And you're how old?
29.
So this guy's like Jimmy again. He's like another Jimmy.
Yeah, kind of.
Because Jimmy was 54 when you were 19.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, this is guys that, I don't know, he's really sweet.
He what?
He's been there for me through a lot.
Right.
And, like, I mean, I would even say he saved my life a couple times.
He saved probably your life? Wasn't. Wait a minute. It's not Jesus. You're not seeing Jesus, are you?
No.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. I didn't know what was going on.
No, it's just like when I had my breakdown.
When you had your what?
When I had my breakdown.
Yeah, okay.
I thought about ending my life a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd go running to him, and he would help me get through it.
And so now you're hooking up with him, and you're dating. Are you dating him, or?
He wants to, but he would say yes. But it's like we are.
Is he single? Is he single?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
He doesn't have any family or anybody else. And so, like, let me know what thing ever happened.
So he's aware of your past.
Yeah, he knows a lot about it. And he cares about it.
By the way, I got an email from Corey going, this is crazy. This is just freaking crazy. That's what this is.
It is.
I mean, Sarah Jane. You know what you got going on? You got too much drama in your life. You know what I mean?
Nah.
Yeah, you really do. No, I'm saying, because it's never just simple with you, you know?
It can't be.
You have to inject drama into it. I think you've, and answer me if I'm correct, okay? Do you sometimes feel like you're living in a soap opera, and you're one of the stars of the soap opera, and you're going through these things?
No.
Do you somehow feel like you're, and by that I mean, do you somehow feel like you're part of something that's out of your control, you know? Like maybe your life's being scripted by someone else, and you're going through it and...
Yeah.
Okay. That's what I'm getting at. You do realize, and I'm not trying to play, you know, dime store psychologist or anything. I'm saying you do realize that, because I was this way with food, all right? This is why I'm bringing it up. And I think you're that way with sex. You do realize that there's one person who has the ability to turn this off and on, right? I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sex, all right? And if you get off on being with these people and it excites you and you like it and you're safe, then I'm fine with that. And you should be fine with it. But if you feel like it's spinning out of control, you do realize that there is one person that can say, "Damn, yeah, you know what? I'm going to cut this off." And that's you. Like, you're in control of your life. You can make decisions at any time to do things differently. You do realize that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I just wanted to, you know, because I'm a food addict. And I was feeling like, oh, my God, this food is controlling me. I can't. And then I finally realized, wait a minute. It's up to me whether I eat it or not. Mm-hmm. Nobody can force me to eat. So I'm just not going to eat it. And I think with you, you could be that way with the sex. You know, you could just say, you know what? I think I'm going to choose to not have sex. Or to, more importantly, I think I'm going to choose to not experience the drama that I get from sex. Or I'm going to try to find something else that excites me because, you know.
I've been reading books.
You what?
I've been reading books to help.
You've been reading books to help. Well, I don't know if you need books. I don't know if you need books. I think you need willpower, but that's just me. What do I know?
Mm-hmm.
Boy, you are something else. You really you amaze me.
I do that to a lot of people.
You really are.
I am me. I'm one of the.
I know some people listen. They go, "Oh shit, it's Sarah Jane." I'm not even going to listen to this podcast. But I'll tell you what. The people who do listen, you have got to admit, there's nobody. Nobody who brings what Sarah Jane brings. You really got to come to grips with that. Okay. So is that the update that you're seeing someone and you're not seeing the prisoner anymore, are you?
No. Here's the deal with him is he was drunk and I didn't know he was drunk. And well, first I told him, you need to wait 3 weeks till I get through what I'm going through because I don't think it's a good idea for me to jump in a relationship right now.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, okay, you know. So then on Christmas Eve, you know, I went to, you know, his family's get together.
You got to talk slower because you're cutting out.
Okay. I went to his family's get together for Christmas.
Right.
And he bought me a really expensive necklace.
Nice, yes.
You know, I was like, wow, you know, this is cool, you know. And then he had me come over the next day at Christmas, and he was texting me, and he's like, we should just make it official. I'm like, what do you mean, like be your girlfriend? He's like, yeah. He's like, I really like you. You're sweet. I can see a future with you, blah, blah, blah. And part of me felt like it was rushing, but I was just like, okay, let's try this, you know. And but he wasn't being what I needed in a relationship. And then it turned into after like 3 or 4 days, he wanted us to turn into an open relationship.
Oh,
and
I'm
like, what? And then, you know, like one day he didn't talk to me all day or text me, and I got mad and I slept with another person.
Oh,
and then, but he was with his ex-girlfriend and was doing stuff with her. And New Year's Eve, we were supposed to go out and do something special, but he wanted to hang out with his friends instead. So I met some guy online that was telling me, come hang out with me. And so I went to this guy's house and hung out with this guy. And in the middle of the night, my boyfriend broke up with me, you know, saying he wanted a different relationship. And then I look on his Facebook profile and him and his ex-girlfriend are back in a relationship.
Oh.
So I really got hurt.
Why would you? I mean, you do. You were. I'm. You know what? I'm not even gonna walk you through that one.
Yes, it's not worth it.
But he was in jail anyway, wasn't he?
He had just gotten released at the beginning of December.
Okay,
from prison.
Then you know what? Then you're better off not being with the prisoner.
Yeah, he was my weekend guy.
This is ridiculous.
Like, I saw him for months, for like all summer long, every weekend. Like,
this is
all
crazy.
The way till his release, pretty much.
This is crazy. Boy, your life is crazy. All right, so now you're seeing an older guy. He's 49, you said?
48.
48, whatever. Is there really a difference, 48, 49? I mean, come on. So now you're seeing this guy, but you haven't had sex in 2 weeks.
Right.
Okay. I think we're all caught up now. Oh my God. Oh, good.
But I'm doing a lot better in a lot of areas.
Yes,
honestly.
It seems.
I got out of BDSM.
Oh, well, congratulations.
I got rid of all my buddies, my friends with benefits.
All the guys that you were just having sex with.
Yeah, I got rid of them all. I told them it was over.
Well, congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
And life is fine after that.
Yeah, it's been rough. I've been going through a lot of therapy to work.
Right. So you're trying therapy and reading and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I'm working on my cognitive behavioral therapy skills.
Your what? Your cognitive?
Cognitive behavioral therapy skills.
Okay. All right. Have you ever thought that, you know what, you are who you are and that's okay? Have you ever told yourself it's okay that you're into sex as much as you are? Have you ever come to that conclusion?
Kind of.
Okay. Because what you need to do, in all seriousness, you do need to come to the conclusion and say, hey, you know what? I'm into sex, and that's okay. But I don't need to let it control me, so I'm in control of when I can't have it. But it's okay that I like it. There's nothing wrong with me for liking it. You should really try that. Once again, I'm not playing, you know, I'm not trying to play dime store psychologist or psychiatrist, but you could just come to that conclusion, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You could just say, I like sex. So what? It's a lot of people that like sex. I could be a little safe. I could be a little more safer at it. I could be a little more honest about it to the people I see. And then I could go about my life and be fine. There's a lot of women who are single. And, you know, and they go through, they do the same things you do.
Mm-hmm.
And they're fine. I'm just saying that, yep. that's something that you could conclude. And it might help you. But that's just me. I do like catching up with you, though. I'm glad that I'm glad you have someone. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. You're not dating anyone married right now?
No.
So you're not breaking up any marriages? Work is going good?
Work is rough, but
okay. But life's going good for the most part?
Yeah, you know, things are starting to actually turn around.
Well, good. Congratulations. I like to hear that.
Yeah, and I'm finally getting some stability in my moods, too, with my medicine I'm on.
Right, good. You're not blowing people in front of other people?
No.
Okay. Well, that's good. that's a good thing. Well, I thank you for today. It was I gotta tell you, every time, you know what, Every time you are on the show, you reveal something else that takes the I thought it was, you know what? I thought it was going to be a simple 3-minute interview. I really did. I thought I'll.
Really?
Yeah. I was like, you know, I'll do 3 minutes. Sarah Jane's going to tell us she's doing good. And then I'll move on to, and I'll move on to something else. But no, once again, I get shows my stupidity because I always think these are going to be short phone calls. It's once again, you, your life just leading the way down another endless hole of interesting things. All right. So there you go. So we found, you actually dated Jimmy and blew his friends. Yeah. All right. Sarah Jane, as always, you are just fantastic. You truly are. In all my internet broadcasting, I think you're the greatest guest I've ever had.
Yeah.
Yeah, I truly enjoy your life, or hearing about your life. I really do. I truly enjoy hearing about your life and the things you go through. Mm. You don't sound
happy. Well, I mean, I know, and people somehow, I don't know, like, I make people smile and stuff
yeah.
like that. Like,
I'm saying that in your own way, you truly entertain us, and you entertain me. So there you go. And everything else is good, by the way? Are we doing good in every other angle?
Yeah.
Good for you. All right. Well, I'll let you go so you can go watch your bird and you could watch the bird and the dog and whatever the hell else you got going on.
Yeah, and then my three cats at home.
And your three cats at home. Hey, are these people your house sitting for? They got a nice house?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more of like it's in a building kind of thing.
So they do have close neighbors?
Yes. You can hear the neighbors above, below.
With the bird and the dog, they have neighbors? Oh my, yes. I couldn't imagine living next to them. All right. Well, let me let you go. It's great to hear from you again, Sarah Jane. I'm glad you're doing well. And I'm sure I'm sure we'll talk again soon. I do love your updates.
Yep.
It's the one and only Sarah Jane. Thank you, Sarah Jane. Oh, she's just she's just the best. Thank you, Sarah. Oh, goodness gracious. She's
My herb is on fire. We don't need no Valtrex, let my genitalia burn. Burn genitalia. Sarah Jane, and I'm a dumb white girl. I'm not made for you, or you, or you. I give married guys a whirl. I claim to find Jesus, and I won't tickle your taint like that hillbilly guy. But I come from the streets, like the other white meat known as midget wrestler guy.
Yeah, I give you $50 and get made fun of by Buckskin. And if I crash at your place, you might get hives all over your foreskin. Cause I'm not like Hillbilly Joe, always stroking my beef jerky. I'm the root of all that's evil. I give other people herpes. My herp, my herp, my herp is on fire. My herp, my herp, my herp is on fire. My herp, my herp, my herp is on fire. We don't need no Valtrex, let my genitalia burn. Burn genitalia, burn.
If you've had a bad day and your luck with chicks just sucks, let me tell you about a girl who go down on you and give you $50. Let me tell you that you're just not living till you let Sarah Jane give the gift that keeps giving. It's something that just sticks with you and doesn't fade with time, cause now you've got herpes for all your life.
This is Bigot.
I had a friend named Rach who called her up one night. She came right over and didn't put up a fight. She went down on him and then started to pout. He took the $50 and kicked her fat ass out. He didn't want to deal with her or pay her back that night. He didn't want her bees for all his life. Didn't want to deal with her or pay her back that night. He didn't want her peace for all his life.
Oh. Red, red sores on Sarah Jane, on her genitalia. She tried to give them to Rage. Red, red sores, when they flare up, she likes to tell everyone she can't shut up. Well, she just can't shut up. She and Rage talked on the phone, and thoughts of him would fill her head. She gave him cash, cause he was broke. To pay her back, he did forget. She's got red, red sores.
I'll have to loan this to TJ.
From her herpes.
So you can play it for Rage.
Why must she be alone? It's tearing apart her herpes infected heart.
Red, red souls, you make her feel not fine. She takes her Valtrex all of the time. Red, red souls, you make her feel not grand. On Rage, she used her mouth instead of her hand. Red, red souls, you make her feel so sad. When her medicine's working, she is really glad. Red, red souls, you make her feel so fine. She works out every day because she's got a big fat behind. Red, red souls, they're a real bad thing. She gave him $50 after they had their fling. Red, red souls, he got her in the sack. She really wants her money, but she'll never get it back.
Red, red souls, not what she desires. Too bad that she trusted Rich. He's a big fat liar. Red, red souls, they make nice too.
Oh, my goodness. Can I even do, can I do one more? I guess. All right, we'll do this the last one, then I'll get out of here today. Show's been going for 90 minutes.
Rage and Sarah Jane, their love fell apart before it even began. Now she's alone and out. Rage will not take her calls, won't answer his phone. She bought a ticket to his show. He would not let her backstage. Why does she find it hard to find Mr. Right? It's a story of Sarah and Rage.
All right, I'm going to wrap up the show. Thank you guys for listening.
I know this.
Thanks to Sarah Jane
much is true.
For being our guest today. Oh, my God.
But Sarah Jane will give her peace to you.
So long, everybody.